if you can make it simpler, then make it simple.
I can just hear all the CFOs out there in podcast lands just choking on their teas.
Welcome to Leadership Decanted, our cheeky half edition, where we dare to share unfinished thoughts and ideas around some potentially thorny leadership questions. And even though KG and I can't always be in the same room, we still do this over a glass of our favourite beverage.
Paul, what is going on?
KG, great to see you as always.
And you, and we are back again together and doing a little bit of a cheeky half, which is always fun.
It's cheeky halftime. Now, for those ardent listeners, we already did have a bonus cheeky half earlier this year, 2024, in our fourth year of being a podcast. But today we are recording our first official cheeky half.
Official.
For those who are listening in sequence, of course.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the rest of you, you don't care what order it is. You just love it, what you're hearing, which I'm hoping.
This is episodic.
Well, today I know that you came up with something which I think is a great topic for us, right? Because it's one of those that, you know, it's relevant. People are talking about it right now. And no matter when people are listening to it, it's going to be something interesting for them.
I think so. And it's something that raises its ugly head on a regular basis, really. But as a topic of conversation, I think it's worth reinforcing or revisiting because I do wonder what leaders or people in positions of authority are actually doing about these sorts of issues, what conversations they might be having,
yeah,
or whether they're just burying their heads in the sand. I really don't know. But what I'm referring to is that recently in Australia, there was a report that was published by the Workplace Gender Equality Agency called the Employer Gender Pay Gap Report, and it was published on the 27th of February, 2024. And ostensibly, it's really about trying to get a handle on the presence or absence, if you like, of gender equality in people's pay packets.
Yeah.
The latest assessment or survey does quite a job in highlighting where we are in terms of gender pay gaps and does raise the specter of some serious conversations that need to be had, I think, at board level, executive level, and so forth.
Yeah.
So just to give you a sense, the employer gender pay gap includes information from 4,962 employers. That covers about 4.9 million employees.
Wow.
It's a huge data set, and only employers who have more than 100 employees are included to be able to ensure that there's a broad distribution of the population. So the numbers are in, and just to give you some context, KG, so that we can just kick off a quick conversation, the high-level headline, if you like, is that overall, when it comes to gender pay gaps, when we're counting total remuneration, so that's bonuses, overtime, incentives, as well as your base salary, we're looking at an overall 19% difference in gender pay gap between male and female. This is how the survey is constructed. It doesn't go into questions of gender identity. So I am just using the words male and female as it's used by the report. So that's the line that they're drawing. But it's important to understand that it's almost a 20% difference in take-home income between men and women in favor of men.
Mm.
Now, it's slightly different when you have what's traditionally called male-dominated industries versus female-dominated industry. The headline of 19% is the average overall, but when it comes to female-dominated industries or traditionally female-dominated industries, and that might include industries like healthcare, social work, education, for example, then the overall pay gap is 11.6%. So it still exists, but it's slightly smaller.
Yeah.
Where there are traditionally male-dominated industries, for example, construction, mining, manufacturing, and so forth, the pay gap in favor of men rises considerably to 24.1%. So in male-dominated industries, it's a difference of 24.1%. In female-dominated industries, it's kind of 11.6. And where there are mixed genders, industries that, for example, employ almost equally male and female, such as administrative, hospitality, arts and recreation, for example, even real estate, they have a gender pay gap of 14.1%.
Okay.
So those pay gaps are smaller, but they are nevertheless still there.
Yeah.
There are gender pay gaps across the board.
Yeah, yeah. Even with the female-dominated ones, which is interesting. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, of course, you've got your three most, if you like, disparate industries in terms of gender pay gap, which are things like electricity, water and waste services, financial and insurance services, and mining.
Okay.
They are industries where 90% or more employers have a gender pay gap in favor of men.
Yeah.
So the report slices this data quite finely. You have quite a lot of granularity in the report, even in the snapshot report, which is very much infographic driven. And I would encourage people just to download it and have a look, and you can find it at the Workplace Gender Equality Agency site. But it's quite a disturbing set of figures. It doesn't really surprise me because we've been here before. We've had these conversations before. But the extent of the pervasive nature of these gaps really surprised me and unsettled me.
Yeah.
And I have been asking myself, what conversations are leaders having in these industries, in these organizations, in these sectors? Are they even addressing these issues head on? Are they hoping they go away? What is it that they're doing? What sort of conversations are they having, and how are they addressing them? I wonder whether leaders, when it comes to gender pay equality, are asleep at the wheel.
That's a fair question. And look, and I think that is the big question you get when you see these numbers, because it feels like you said before, it's not unexpected, but it is unexpected in the fact that it is really across the board, right? You kind of think, oh, okay, I get that it happens in, you know, some of the industries that are male dominated, but even when, and I know we haven't talked about it yet, but even in some of the areas where you have women CEOs, the gap still exists. So
that's right.
And in those instances, you know, your question was, you know, are leaders asleep at the wheel? Presumably, there should be some conversation occurring, depending, notwithstanding who is CEO, a male or female, but especially when a woman CEO is there, you would hope that the conversation is, you know, happening more often, and people are really giving it the opportunity to take center stage. But yet there's still similar gaps in pay. So it's a tough one. It's a tough one.
I'm just wondering what conversations people are having, because such a flagrant abuse of position and power that it really comes down to the moral question, right? It's not an economic question. It's not a financial question. It's clearly a moral and or ethical question. And I am curious as to what type of conversations people are having, because this is no surprise, and yet we have these sorts of conversations regularly. It's seasonal, I guess.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much changes over time and how much has changed, perhaps a little bit, but it's still quite a big, big gender gap. And to your point that you were making around women and women in leadership, and once again, I wanted to reiterate that this report has pretty much a binary division of gender, men or women. It doesn't distinguish across other gender identifications. So bear with us if this makes you feel uncomfortable, but I would just reiterating what the report is saying. But nevertheless, where there are women on boards, organizations that have up to 20% of women on their boards, there is still a gender pay gap in favor of men of 68%. Now, interestingly, where there is a percentage for an employer on their board of, say, 81 to 100% of women are on the board for that employer, the pay gap in favor of men is 42, with 42 being neutral, that is kind of on par,
yeah,
and 15% of that being in favor of women. So you could have, if you like, 57% or 58% neutral or in favor of women, 42% in favor of men. Where there is 0 to 20% of women on boards, then you've got a 68% favorability toward men and you have 32% either neutral or in favor of women. So there is something about the presence of a particular gender in leadership that does something.
Yeah.
I don't know what that secret sauce is. I don't know exactly what happens.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if you move down that hierarchical organizational ladder where you have women who are, to your point, CEOs, where an employer does not have a woman CEO, 65% gender pay gap in favor of men and 35 neutral and or in favor of women, where an employer has at least one woman CEO, gender pay gap of 51% in favor of men, 49% neutral in favor of women. So you can see that there is a change, there is a movement, there is a difference.
Yeah.
And it's same thing, same story as you move down to what the report calls key management personnel. So if when there are women in key management roles across the board, the greater the population of women in those types of roles, the less likely it is to have a biased gender pay gap in favor of men. It's more likely to be almost on par, 50-50, maybe a bit less, maybe a bit more, depending on the industry.
Yeah.
So once again, I don't know what the secret sauce is, but I'm interested in the conversations that, say, women CEOs or women in management positions are having on boards. What are they saying to their peers? What conversations are they having? Because I'm thinking it's just maths. Yes. Does it have to be this difficult? Sure, maybe there are things to think about financially. Maybe there are kind of shareholder expectations. I don't know. But it's just maths. Is it as simple as somebody has to make a decision to say, you know what, we're just going to pay everybody who does the same role the same regardless of gender? Am I being too simplistic, KG?
It is. Yes, you are. And you are being too simplistic.
Simplistic or naive?
We all make it very hard. But, you know, I think you've got a good idea, because maybe it should be simpler, right? Maybe it should be just as simple as part of the conversation. Now, I know that people will be saying to themselves, oh, but there's this situation and there's this situation and there's lots of different reasons for it. So I don't think we're in any way saying that where there is a pay gap, people have done purposefully, but we think you should at least be having some conversations about it. And if you can make it simpler, then make it simple, right? And, you know, and where it's not as simple, that's fine. But at least the conversations are being had and people are understanding the why behind any gap, if it does exist and if there is some rationale behind it. When you were talking about the key management positions, one of the things that came to mind to me is it kind of makes sense, because as there's more women in key management positions, those positions pay greater salaries, and it in itself inherently moves the scale up so that the gap is going to be smaller, because you've got more women who, you know, are in those positions that pay higher salaries. And so the more and more that happens, I think the less and less of a gap will happen over time. But it's how do you start at the lowest level, bring those salaries up, and then bring the next level up, and then the next level up, because there's only so many as you get to the CEO. But, you know, if you can start to move those middle and lower ones up first, then I think you lessen that gap over time. But again, maybe I'm being too simplistic.
Yeah, maybe you are. Man, I can just hear all the CFOs out there in podcast lines just choking on their T's.
Yes.
So
on about but, those guys.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody wants to get in touch with us and explain to us, and if you, for example, if your organization, if you're aware that there are gender pay gaps, what conversations are you a part of? Are you at a table somewhere talking about these things? Are they things that are whispered in the corridors in hush-hush tones? Or is it really where there seems to be a sense of don't mention the war type situation?
Yes.
What's going on there? And I think that's important to understand, because that gives you also an indication of the leadership culture that may be prevalent as well. Yeah, and there are different causalities that come to bear here, to your point. It's not necessarily a simple thing. A lot of it is historical. A lot of it is entrenched and structural, depending on sometimes on the types of industries. But nevertheless, it's a conversation that I think leaders should at least address. And if you have no solution, okay, call it out. I've got no solution. We've got no solution. But what does it say about how you value your workforce and the possibility that even by clearly having these levels of gaps, you are really sending a message. You're not just paying someone less.
Yeah.
You're also suggesting that you value them less.
That says a lot.
It does. But that's the cheeky half, man. That's all I've got. I really haven't passed the data that much. I haven't really processed it or analyzed it too much. I just went on emotion because I felt quite unsettled when I was looking at these figures. And I thought, where are the leaders?
Yes.
What are they saying?
Yes.
Talk to us. Come talk to us. Tell us about it.
And like you said, if you have a thought, an opinion, a direction we should take as far as this conversation, you let us know. We're happy to extend this conversation into a full episode. But I think it was something that needed to be brought up. So I'm glad you brought this one into the chat, Paul. Really good.
Thank you. Thank you. And look, if you're interested, we're going to put the links in the show notes. It's the Workplace Gender Equality Agency, and it's their gender pay gap report that you'll see. You can download it in various forms. If you don't have too much time, you can download the snapshot. It just gives you a whole bunch of infographics and information. If you have a lot of time and you really want to get into the data, their data is huge. They've got huge sets of data that they've worked from, and then you can cut and slice the data whichever way you like.
I know someone's going to put it into a spreadsheet and just go for it, but that's okay. That's okay. That's not
right, me. That's right. Okay, G, that was our cheeky half.
I like it. Thank
for
you.
Today.
Yes, yes. And as always, thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And we will say with that, sláinte.
Sláinte.
That is our cheeky half episode. Please let us know what you think, whether you'd like us to expand on any of these topics in our main episodes or any other comment you might have. You can reach us on askus@leadershipdecanted.com. That's askus at leadershipdecanted.com. You can also leave your comments for each of our episodes on our website at leadershipdecanted.com. Thanks for listening.